What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. Hour number two. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. And we're going to go back to the phones here. Milton over in eastern Pennsylvania. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing, Michael and listeners? I had a question. But these cops that are standing down and allowing all this violence to go on, if we should go in a type of civil unrest, can we trust these cops? Or are they our enemies?
Well, again, the fact that the police are being ordered to stand down, and we know that the order came from the mayor in the case of Charlottesville, then obviously these are staged events to push an agenda of fanning up race hatred in this country, to turn us against each other so that we will not unite and stand up to the government. Milton, are you there?
Yeah, I went blank for a minute. Yeah, I'm here. So, you know, you think they'll side with us? If things break out, they'll do the right thing and ignore an order?
Some will, some won't. I don't know about the police. You know, certainly when you look at the police, like the ones I was talking to before about where they literally groped this woman's private parts for 11 minutes and found nothing, they'll probably just do what they're told by their command authority. But I can imagine a lot of really good police officers would stand with the American people. And again, we have a neighbor that is very concerned about the direction the government is going with. As far as the military is concerned, I imagine the majority of the rank and file military will stand with the American people, because military people tend to be very strict constitutionalists, has been my experience with them.
Okay. All right, that gave me a perspective of what to watch for, and thank you.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. Getting on back to the news, let's talk about the war zones. There are so many wars all over the place. Over in Syria, the Syrian government is making tremendous gains. They're clearing central Syria from ISIS. And it's only a matter of time now before that war is over. And I'm sure the U.S. will claim victory that they got ISIS and al-Qaeda, but we know that wasn't the real agenda. The real agenda was regime change, and the U.S. has lost this one. Now, there is still a possibility that they'll throw another false flag. Oh, my goodness, Assad is tap dancing barefoot on shag carpeting or some other atrocity, and they'll launch more cruise missiles. But it's going to be hard selling that to the American people, because we've been lied to so many times, and we know we've been lied to. Now, here's where it gets interesting. They're talking about this ceasefire deal regarding the southern part of Syria, and Israel is out there saying, well, you know, you, the White House, Trump, you've got to make sure this deal is amended to make sure the Iranian forces are kicked out of Syria and Hezbollah is kicked out of Syria and the Shiite militias are kept out of Syria. And they're out there making all these demands, overlooking a very important point we need to keep in mind. Israel has no business in Syria. They're trying to steal the Golan, yes. But Israel has no legal justification for being in Syria. Neither does the United States. Iran was invited in by the government of Syria. Same with Russia, same with Hezbollah, same with all these other people. But Israel's out there saying, no, 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 you got to make the peace deal serve our country. And they're putting pressure on the White House, forgetting the fact that the United States also does not have a legal basis to be in Syria. They were not invited by the Syrian government. They have not been given permission by the Syrian government. Technically, the U.S. has committed acts of war against Syria by flying into their country with warplanes and bombing food storage facilities, oil pipelines, water processing plants, and all that other stuff. But right now, it's politically incorrect to call it a war. Well, for the people on the receiving end of all those bombs, the Syrian people, it sure looks like a war to them. Israel's dealing with another interesting crisis. Apparently, down at the Dimona nuclear reactor, which is Israel's primary bomb factory, the employees have gone on strike there because they have not had a pay raise over quite a time, and they're on strike. And Israel's government is now issuing emergency regulations saying you can't strike, you have to work at the money that we give you, and that is building up to a crisis. And basically they're being told, you cannot go on strike here. And I would not be surprised if more photos of that bomb factory in the basement started leaking out on the internet. That would certainly be an appropriate response, I think. All right, back to the phones here. Don in Iowa, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Mike. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people, you and others say that Soros is behind everything, but I mean, everybody seems pretty convinced that he's funding the Antifa and all these other and Black Lives Matter.
Yes,
is this true?
He certainly seems to be the last one in the funding pipeline. But as that other caller indicated, we're now aware that Soros is getting U.S. government money that are basically donations of your tax dollars to his various non-governmental organizations. So basically, they're using your money to fund these groups to cause acts of violence to change the political nature of our country. And again, under the USA Patriot Act, this is an act of terror.
According to this Millie Weaver, that's the reporter for Alex Jones, she was there in Charlottesville. And Antifa, these guys, they stand around and look stupid, but actually they're trained. They have coolers. They bring coolers that makes it look like they just got some, something to drink. But they have ice. They have all kinds of weapons in there. They have feces, old tampons and stuff like that to throw on people. They have chemical weapons. They have pepper spray. And they're trained, according to Alex Jones, they have camps where they train, they're trained, and they're probably paid too, right?
Yeah, $25 an hour. Somebody found the Craigslist ad. It's a company out of Los Angeles.
This is all totally illegal for them to have a paramilitary organization like that. And said they're trained.
Not if they're working for the U.S. government or the globalist agenda. You know, it's only illegal.
In other words, Trump himself doesn't really care. Trump was just for the bull when he went through everything, and all he wants to do is just act like he's president, and he doesn't care about anything, right?
Well, I think the reality is, and again, I've said this many times before, Trump was very naive coming into the White House. He thought it was going to run like a business by the same general rules, and it is a completely different environment. And he is totally surrounded by people who oppose him. He's controlled. Basically, he is so busy trying to sort out the swamp and hang on to his job that he really can't do anything else right now. They've got him focused on the war agenda. That's exactly where they want him focused.
He's responsible for hiring the people that he got there. I mean, he's not totally stupid. He knew the McMaster. I mean, you can look up McMaster on Google or WikiLeaks or anything. You can see Wikipedia. It's no secret who these guys what they're all about. He knew who McMaster was.
Well, he was going on a lot of recommendations from people around him, but the reality that he's having to face is that everybody inside that beltway is corrupt, and they're all united against him. And what Trump should have done when he came into the White House was...
Why did he hire him?
Don, let me get an idea out. Trump should have come into the White House on the first day of his presidency and fired everybody and hired people from outside the Beltway. There's a lot of qualified, skilled people out here in the country that can do the jobs that need to be done in the White House, but we don't have those compromising political connections. We're not being blackmailed. They don't have photos of us poking a badger with a spoon or whatever else is going to be used to try and control us. And that's Trump's biggest failing, is he came on in and he was going to be magnanimous in victory, and he kept the Obama holdovers, and he started accepting recommendations for hiring White House personnel who turned out to be very bad for him. And anybody who wasn't going along with the game was ejected, like Bannon. And he's totally tangled up in this bureaucratic duct tape, is basically, for lack of a better word. They've got him totally controlled. And he's like an enfeebled king. He's an enfeebled king. He's a enfeebled king, like the Merovingians toward just before they were kicked out and the Carolingians took over. All right, Don, thanks an awful lot for the phone call. Right, we're going to let you go here, and we're going to do a quick shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining the network. Getting on back to the war zones. Over in Iraq, their army is now liberating the last major ISIS stronghold in Iraq. So that is all but over as well, which probably explains why the U.S. government is now announcing they're going to have a permanent military base in Iraq, and you shouldn't be upset about it. After all, we've got permanent military bases in Germany and Japan and France and all over the world, 800 bases all over the world. So one more, who's going to kick up a fuss about that? Now, turning to Iran, this situation is starting to get very, very ugly. President Rouhani, who has just been re-inaugurated as president of Iran, is out there saying if the U.S. continues their threats, Iran could walk away from the P5+1 deal and jumpstart their nuclear program again. And their rationale is very simple. The deal was Iran would suspend their nuclear program. They would allow other countries to refine the fuel rods for their nuclear power stations, and the U.S. would relax the sanctions on Iran. Iran has complied with all their terms, and once again, the IAEA has come on in and said, yes, Iran is playing by the rules. The United States has not. Many of those sanctions that were in place before the P5+1 deal was agreed to are still there, and now the U.S. is throwing more and more sanctions on top of Iran, supposedly over their missile program. And Iran has already gone to the United Nations to say this adding of sanctions clearly is a violation of the P5+1 deal. And it is. They're right about that. But at this point, the world is waking up to an ugly reality. It doesn't matter what deal you make with the U.S. government. If they want to invade you, they will invade you. This is just one example. Iran is playing by the rules. The U.S. government is not. Syria is another one. Bashar al-Assad surrendered all of his chemical weapons, which was supposedly the big deal between the U.S. government and Assad's government, and the U.S. government still went into Syria trying to overthrow Assad. The entire world is coming to understand you don't bother making a treaty with the United States. They will not keep it. It doesn't matter what you surrender. It doesn't matter what you give up. If the U.S. is coming for you, they're coming for you. And the smart thing to do is to get ready to basically make an invasion of your country as expensive as possible for the United States. And that's what's going on. So Iran's parliament has voted to increase the budget for their missile program and their elite military by $520 million. And yes, the U.S. is trying to find some reason they can go into Iran and say, well, yeah, they're playing by the rules on the P5+1, but we've got to go on in there. And over at the New York Slimes, they've got the start of a new propaganda campaign against Iran. Can anyone stop Iran from taking over Iraq? Ooh, Iran is coming to take over Iraq. They're claiming the Iranians are down in Venezuela now. And again, a reminder, Iran has not initiated a war of conquest against another country in over 200 years. In the Iran-Iraq war, it was Iraq who started hostilities at the behest of the U.S. government. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Tony in Puerto Rico, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, Mike.
Hi.
Listen, I was listening yesterday to Roger Stone, and he was talking about LBJ being the linchpin of Kennedy's assassination. And I kind of agree with him. But, you know, if you study the swearing-in by LBJ on Air Force One, you notice that he doesn't show any remorse in his face or sorrow. That kind of makes him guilty. What do you think about that?
Well, there's another photo from that very same incident where he's being sworn in on Air Force One where one of his advisors in the background is winking at him.
Right.
You know, okay, now LBJ was involved. I don't know that he was the linchpin, but definitely the plotters of the assassination understood they had to court LBJ so that he would do what they wanted him to do and basically terminate some of Kennedy's policies. But as of right now, it looks like the people behind the JFK assassination were the Texas oil billionaires who were being harmed by the oil depletion allowance issue, organized crime who felt that they had been double-crossed by Kennedy when he made Robert Kennedy his attorney general. You had the CIA who felt John F. Kennedy had betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs. You had the Federal Reserve who were outraged over Kennedy's signing of Executive Order 11110 and the issuance of the United States note. And you had Israel that was very angry over John F. Kennedy's sincere desire that Israel not acquire nuclear weapons. And there may have been some other players in there, but those are pretty much the main ones. And so Kennedy is killed. Johnson comes on in. He ramps up the war in Vietnam to keep the defense contractors happy about that. And basically ended the U.S. note. Turned a blind eye to the fact that Israel was even then stealing weapons-grade uranium from the United States for their first-generation nuclear weapons. So it's like I keep telling you, wars and assassinations never happen for just one reason. It is a confluence of various individuals and groups who have their own particular agenda, but those agendas all overlap in terms of the war or assassination being their best solution.
Okay, thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go. Now, interestingly enough, when President Rouhani was inaugurated last week, there was a huge crowd of European leaders, ministers, and dignitaries who showed up, which was effectively a snub to Washington, D.C., and it's an indication that Europe is starting to pull away from the U.S. government's influence, and they're starting to make their own friends over in the Middle East. So more and more, the world is waking up and realizing that for all this talk about Iraq is a rogue state, and Iran's a rogue state, and North Korea is a rogue state, and all the rest of it, it is the United States that's gone rogue. It's the United States that does not honor their treaty obligations. It is the United States that for the last 16 years has been invading and drone striking and torturing and regime changing all over the globe. And that is the reality, and the rest of the world is starting to stand up to it. And a good example would be over in Libya. One of their leaders, Haftar, is now traveling to Moscow and asking for military aid. Now, this guy used to work for the United States. He was part of the group that pulled Muammar Gaddafi out of power. And so all of a sudden, now he is pivoting towards Russia. And we're seeing that more and more in these countries that have been attacked and destroyed by the United States. The agenda, obviously, is when they rebuild, they'll borrow the money from American banks. They'll buy their cement and other supplies from U.S. companies. It'll be good for business. And now all of a sudden, we're seeing these countries that have been close to destroyed by U.S. military action, and they're all taking their business elsewhere. And this is just another indicator. The American empire is clearly on the wane. Our challenge now is to prevent it from destroying the rest of the world as it flops about in its death throes on the world stage. And that's going to be a real trick when you consider just how crazy some of these people in government really are. We got to take a break for commercials. Back with a phone call after these few words. Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read a few from Amazon.com. Dr. Sam Serino reviewed the Extendivite product. Good ingredients, feeling much better since taking product. It seems that the tablets work well. Once again, thank you for your product. My acid reflux has really improved thanks to the Extendivite. Together with my thumb joints, the pain is gone and I'm able to grip things much better. My friend has peripheral arterial disorder, and their lower legs were hurting at a red color, but thankfully, there has been a significant improvement. Kind regards, Janice. My husband feels a big difference using Extendivite. Thank you. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite. You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight. Women and children alike.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And before we take this phone call, story just now hitting the news wires, apparently up. This comes under the category of give them an inch, they'll take a mile. And apparently a bunch of social justice warriors, zealots, fanatics, whatever you want to call it, held a protest inside the American Museum of Natural History in New York City, demanding that the statue of President Theodore Roosevelt be taken down because, after all, he was a racist. And they're out there just, you're never going to make these people happy by giving in to them. No matter what you do to accommodate them, they'll say, oh, well, we want to do this and we want to do that. And they're talking about literally wanting to remove Teddy Roosevelt from Mount Rushmore because, after all, he was a racist. And this comes on the heels of earlier suggestions that the faces of George Washington and Thomas Jefferson be dynamited off of Mount Rushmore because they owned slaves, which means Mount Rushmore is going to be there just with Abraham Lincoln on there, the man who lied us into the Civil War. By the way, somebody wrote in to remind me, Lincoln actually freed the slaves just 18 months into the Civil War. and the Civil War continued for another 2.5 years. It was all about the money, taxation. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Sheldon in Ohio, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, good afternoon. On Trump, with his mental capacity, and he said he was going to clear the swamp there, I flashed back immediately to 1987, the Untouchables, and one with Costner and Sean Connery.
Yeah, I remember that one. Sean Connery did a bang-up job on that one.
Yeah, they did, but they were just fighting and going, you know, there's got to be a way. And then they'd been in court before, but finally when they were in the court, he just put on the brakes and he went and got this, what was it, a small claims judge or something, and they switched judges to one that wasn't on a take.
And they swapped the juries, and they claimed to have evidence that the judge in the case was on the take, which they didn't, but they just took a guess and said, yeah, they're all dirty. And so they swapped the juries, and Capone went away for violations of the tax crimes. But go ahead.
I could just see Trump getting the whole army, the Joint Chiefs in there, sitting them all down, and they all think, oh, good, we're going to have pizza and beer. And he says, you're all fired. And then he brings in a whole bunch of ensigns from each branch, and you just pick up where you left off. It would have been great. It should have happened that way. Thanks for your time.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. We're going to let you go here. Here's a problem. Like attracts like, and that is that the people who are at the top of the military command, they're going to have several layers of subordinates under them that think exactly the same way. You're going to go along with the policies and philosophies of the boss because that's how you get promotion and advancement and more of those little ribbons to put on your dress uniform. And so getting rid of the Joint Chiefs and promoting the next layer up is not really going to work all that well. But again, the president is supposed to be the commander-in-chief of the military forces. Congress is trying to usurp that and say, we're going to decide where the country is going to war and not you. But at this point, again, and I know I've said this many times before, the only positive outcome I see in all of this is that the U.S. is going to have a Soviet Union-style collapse. Collapsing economy might trigger it, or we might start seeing people inside the government ratting each other out. At some point, it's going to break open, and they're going to start pointing fingers at each other. And then we're going to have to rebuild a whole new nation here. But I really do think it is going to happen, and we just have to wait it out. I am completely opposed to the idea of a civil war in this country or an armed rebellion, because the wrong people always get killed and crippled in those things. And at my age, I certainly am not going to be able to pick up a musket and join in the festivities, and so I'm not going to send other people out there to do something I can't do myself. So be calm. Have a beer, some pretzels, wait for the show. We'll be back with another phone call after these few words.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation. And Angioprim is the result, a safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more, plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
What this country is coming to, I sure would like to know. If they don't do something by and by, rich will live and the poor will die. Doggone, I mean the panic is on. Can't get no work, can't draw no pay. Unemployment getting worse.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're going to go back to the phones here. Uma in Canada, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Doing fine.
That's good. Hey, I won't keep you long. Hey, I was just reading on Zero Hedge. The Charlottesville organizer, I guess he was actually an organizer for Occupy Wall Street, too. And I guess he was an Obama supporter, too.
Yes.
But it's kind of weird now he's doing this organization for the alt-right, and it just looks like it is. They're just trying to, it's the biggest divide I've seen in my life.
Yes.
I'm in Canada, and that's pretty scary. What you guys are going down, going through there in the States and stuff, but hopefully people can channel their energy into seeking the truth and hopefully turn the energy around and get together and really go after the real people who are trying to divide them.
Yeah, absolutely, no question about that. And again, People need to go back and look at the history of COINTELPRO, because this is not the first time this government has done this kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's scary. But hopefully you guys can keep your heads up up there, you know, Canada. I'm in Canada, you know, I'm praying for the states to pull through. And, you know, everybody needs to stand together now, because we're going to be through some tough times, and that's North America all together too, right? So
yes,
hopefully we can keep going, and hopefully we can get through these lies, I guess.
Yeah, sure. That's what it is. It's lies. It's liberalism. It's globalism. I got to tell you, common sense right now seems to be an endangered species, and nobody's running a charity to try and save what little is left.
Oh, I know. Oh, I know. You're getting drowned out for all these lives, for sure.
Yeah,
well, thanks for having me, Mike. Thanks
all right, well, thank
me.
You.
And,
thank you.
Thank you. Have a good one.
All right, same to you. Thank you for the phone call. We're going to switch over to Ken in Michigan. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. Thanks for taking my call. You know, if Congress wanted to usurp the military from the president, well, that's kind of their job anyway, you know, to declare war on other countries. And, you know, that's fine. We're going to war over there. And then Donald Trump can just say, okay, we're on vacation.
Well, the way it was originally set on up, and we saw this throughout our entire history, is the president would go to Congress and ask for a declaration of war. In this case, we have something totally new, which is Congress deciding where the war is going to be. And that is a tremendous difference. I mean, following, for example, Pearl Harbor, we've all seen the film of Roosevelt, you know, just standing up there and asking Congress for a declaration of war, which they gave him. But here we have this idea where the president, as commander-in-chief of the military, may not want to go to war. And as long as Congress can come up with a veto-proof majority, they can vote this country into any war that they feel like doing, all for the sake of whatever defense contract or stocks they have in their portfolio. I mean, it's not going to cost them any money. They're going to make money off the war. It's not going to cost their families. Their families are safe. At home, it's your money is going to go. Your kids are going to get killed and crippled, and they don't care. The war is like a giant grinding machine, and they pour your children into the top of it, and out of the bottom of it come stacks of money.
Well, yeah, I agree with that completely. But Congress can vote us into any war they want. It's just whether or not the president is going to say, fight. You can just tell him go over there and have a vacation.
Yeah, technically he could. As commander-in-chief of the military, he could order them to stand down, and Congress couldn't do a thing about it.
Bingo. So he's got them there.
Except that we have the military-industrial complex and those joint chiefs who are fully on board with Congress, to push this war agenda. And I think Trump has already been told that if he tries to stop the war machine, he will be impeached or 25th Amendmented out of the office, if not outright killed.
Yeah, that's very, very true.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, thanks an awful lot. And, at this particular point, Trump is completely corralled. They've got him completely under their control. However they're doing it, blackmail, threats to his family, who knows? And they may have just said, look, we're the deep state, we're the narcocracy, we're going to run the country, you just stand up there and look presidential, because if you do anything other than that, we're going to use the John F. Kennedy approach to your presidency. All right, the phone lines are empty. Getting on back to the news here. It looks like the beginnings of a destabilization operation against Russia. Now, not too long ago, Putin shut down all these George Soros non-governmental organizations inside Russia. He did it because he discovered that they were, in fact, funneling money and other support to opposition groups, which is part of the standard destabilization plan. And he kicked them all out, such as like USAID was a big one, very, very dark reputation from those people. Well, apparently the FSB, which is doing a really good job, They've arrested four more ISIS militants planning terror attacks on Moscow. And the interesting thing is, I mean, they've arrested some Ukrainians as well. And they found two TNT bombs, a grenade, telephone saw, camera. And it was this Ukrainian saboteur, Gennady Lemeshko, who has outright confessed that he was being trained in Ukraine to sneak into Russia to start causing unrest there as well. And apparently, he said that the training was coming from outsiders, non-Ukrainian. So we're looking at this article in Fort Russ saying that it is, ta-da, no surprise here, the CIA is recruiting and training these saboteurs to be sent into Crimea and Donbass. So they're still playing their same games that they've been playing all along, apparently unconcerned that the world is waking up to what's really going on out there. Now, as you know, the war of words over the diplomatic missions is continuing. And apparently the U.S. is threatening new additional steps against Russia's diplomatic missions, and Russia is saying that they will respond in kind. Going to go on seizing more facilities, ejecting more diplomatic staff. Remember, this all started under Obama. They're trying to put the blame for the deteriorating relations with Russia onto Trump, but this all began under Obama here. Now, Crimea has done something very, very interesting on behalf of their people, and apparently they passed a bill that says the residents of the Republic of Crimea do not have to make payments on loans they took from Ukrainian banks. They're just going to write off the debts of their citizens, the same thing that Iceland did. And it is a reminder that a government that is really working to free its people from the slavery of the central bankers can simply write off the debt. Congress has the authority to shut down the Federal Reserve at any time. They can vote to rescind the charter. They won't, because the model is to keep you a debt slave to those bankers. It's a new feudalism, a new serfdom. That's what we're really living under here as well. Now, over in North Korea, both Korea's, China, and the U.S. are pulling back and saying, all right, let's back off here and start talking about what's going on here. And, of course, Kim Jong-un is saying the U.S. needs to show itself to be committed to an alternative to the conflict. In other words, stop having all these military exercises off their coast, because that is what North Korea is responding to. South Korea has come on out with a very strong statement saying that only they can declare war on North Korea. And they're telling Donald Trump he's got no business being over there on their side of the world, threatening war against North Korea. Now, earlier today, there was a little bit of a shakeup. There was a 2.6 earthquake, which was initially reported as striking an area near Pyongyang. And, of course, the corporate media is out there saying, it was another nuclear test. It was another nuclear test. North Korea is in violation. The war is on. As it turns out, it really was an earthquake. And it was not near Pyongyang. It was actually out offshore and very deep underground, someplace where you can't get a nuclear bomb to test it. So it really was an earthquake, and everybody overreacted, as is usually the case. And by the way, I got to tell you, with all these talking heads on the corporate media, and they're all out there, war is good, war is great, I'd like to see them in those baggy BDUs carrying an M16 on the front line. Maybe they wouldn't be quite so enthusiastic about it if they're the ones having to dodge bullets and be careful they don't step on a landmine with those spiky high heels that they're wearing over there. Now, there's still a big tiff going on over North Korea's rapid development of missile technology. And there was an allegation that they'd gotten the technology from Ukraine. Ukraine is denying that they were selling rocket engines to North Korea and is now saying that the technology, the plans for the engines, were stolen by North Korean spies, who I imagine would probably stand out like a sore thumb there in the Ukraine, but that's entirely beside the point. But they did have two North Koreans that were arrested and convicted for espionage, and Ukraine is saying these were the ones who probably stole the plans. Now, experts are saying that really doesn't make that sense. Having the blueprints is one thing. Knowing how to turn those blueprints into an actual working rocket engine requires expertise by the people who normally make those. In other words, Ukrainian specialists. And so the allegations and charges are going back and forth and back and forth. And we know countries will sell weapons and weapon systems under the table when they're not supposed to. Remember when the former apartheid government of South Africa fell, documents surfaced showing that Israel was trying to sell them a nuclear weapon. The deal fell through. There's also evidence that the so-called Vela incident was a joint Israel-South African nuclear weapons test. As we found out from documents leaked out of the Obama administration, at the same time the government was telling us ISIS and Al-Qaeda were our dire enemies in the war on terror, the U.S. government was funding, training, and supporting them. It's a huge black market operation out there in weapons. Now, Mike Pence is down there in South America, and he's trying to push this idea that Venezuela is a threat to the U.S. Iran is in there. Hezbollah is in there. Russia is there. Oh, Venezuela is a major threat to the United States. Actually, the country is on the verge of collapse. They're not a threat to anything except their own population. The only way they're any kind of a threat to U.S. interests is to the oil companies. Because Venezuela's got a huge amount of oil, and they're selling it around the world for currencies other than the U.S. dollar. That's the only real threat. And that's why Venezuela is on the U.S. government's special high-interest targets list. Because if you go on back to that document that was leaked by General Wesley Clark, the plan for the United States was to conquer all the world's resource-rich areas to force those resources to be bought and sold only with U.S. dollars, to keep up foreign demand for dollars and prop up the American economic system. Any country that's selling their oil or other resources for currencies other than the dollar is hence a threat to the U.S. economy. That's what led to the war in Iraq. In 2002, Saddam Hussein got permission from the United Nations to sell Iraq's oil for the euro instead of the dollar. 1 year later, screaming weapons of mass destruction, they invade Iraq, they kill Saddam Hussein, and Iraq's oil's back on the world market only for the U.S. dollar. Same thing in Libya. Gaddafi was doing a good job. He was everybody's friend and so forth. And all of a sudden, he throws out the private central bank of Libya, sets up a new state bank, and establishes a new value-based currency called the gold dinar, then announces that Libya's oil is for sale, but only for the gold dinar. Go on in, color revolution. Gaddafi gets brutalized and killed. The gold for the gold dinar vanishes. Nobody knows where that went. And Libya's oil is back on the world market only for the U.S. dollar. You see how it all works and ties together? Now they're trying to get Venezuela in there as well. Any nation that has natural resources, such as North Korea, that sells those resources for currencies other than the dollar, is a target for the U.S. government. So kiss your children goodbye. They're going to be killed and crippled in a noble cause, propping up that particular piece of pretty printed paper. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Tom in Florida, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Well, hey, good day, Michael, to you. Yeah, Michael, you're right about that. Now, you know, if Cuba had oil, you think the Castro brothers would have stayed there if they would have had oil around Cuba, real good oil, like Venezuela?
Yeah. They actually do have a little. They actually do have a little oil, I think, off the eastern coast, and that's been a bone of contention. Same thing around Haiti. They're starting to realize there's a lot of oil in those subsea structures, along with a lot of methane hydrate, which is very dangerous to be playing around
with.
That's
right. They do have a lot of methane, and I believe off the coast of Haiti or something. I did hear that. But, Michael, the reason I did call you, I want to ask you something. Yeah, yesterday I brought up the fact with this helicopter. They were trying to try to tie that in with this Klan rally and all this. That helicopter, you know what, Michael? Have you ever seen the movie The Kingsman?
Oh, yeah.
I believe that I believe that was like a psyops, and they were trying to use electronic devices to get all these groups to clash with each other. That wouldn't surprise me if they're trying to do some kind of electronical impulse on the brains of these people. I mean, it's not far-fetched, and I believe that could actually happen. And they were their helicopter had a system fried because they were trying to do something they probably didn't know what to do, and it crashed, and now they were trying to tie it in. They had to try to cover that up with the...
You know, I'm in a place here where Occam's razor proves how useful it is, which is the simplest explanation is going to be the one that works. They hired these people to show up. The police shoved them together to get the violence going, and the helicopter crash was either mechanical failure or pilot error. And that's... Okay, so we're going to let you go here.
Right. Michael, one more thing. George Soros is paying these people $1,800.
Okay, hang on a second. There we are. We got to drop Tom here because we have to take a break for commercials. And again, I'm asking the callers, keep it short. And don't get into this one more thing, one more thing, one more thing, one more thing. Or I've got a drop button, and I'm not afraid to use it. So behave yourselves. We'll be right back.
NutriMedical's Power C Plus is the greatest important breakthrough in vitamin C technology since Linus Pauling. It is the only neutral pH vitamin C in the world as a calcium, magnesium, potassium, sodium ascorbate salt with bioperin, a black pepper extract, to increase absorption by 40%. When you take Power C Plus, it helps to alkalinize all the cells of your body instantly, raise the oxygen level and energetic level of cells, suppress cancer and inflammation in your body, and help you fight infections. Power C Plus also helps to build up the collagen in your body, hyaluronic acid in your joints, and the glycosaminoglycans in your joints, as well as to improve healing of any tissue in your body. Power C Plus is very unique at NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com, where you can order, or 888-212-8871. That's NutriMedical, NutriMedical.com.
You've probably heard about all the great benefits of goat milk soap. But did you know? Some companies take shortcuts. At Old New England Soap, we make our organic goat's milk soap using 36% goat's milk. That's 17% more than most others. Our bars are larger, so they last longer, producing lots of lather packed with vitamins. And our soap is a natural moisturizer that smooths dry and damaged skin. Order online at oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. You've tried the rest. Now try the best. Oldnesoap.com.
Water-based soaps on supermarket shelves use harsh chemical acids to break down dead skin cells. And that's just not good for you. At Old New England Soap, our soaps are made without chemical ingredients, contain no alcohol or petroleum products, and use 85% organic materials and carry the USDA's organic certification. Try some today. Go to oldnesoap.com. That's oldnesoap.com. Oldnesoap.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some are maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working two jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, just try it yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far $5.15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job at one of your stores. I bet you can't make it here anymore.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Somebody just wrote on in. I think this was tongue-in-cheek. Shouldn't all memorials to Woodrow Wilson be removed and eliminated, such as the Wilson Graduate School? Everyone knows he was a racist against blacks. Actually, I'd be in favor of tearing down the Woodrow Wilson statues because he gave us the Federal Reserve. But I digress. We're going to go back to the telephones here. Paul in New Jersey, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. You know, I'm going to tell you something. One of the reasons why whites might be drawn to white nationalism is because of diversity fatigue, you know?
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, because if diversity is not going to work out and be all that it was promised to be, and basically, particularly in Europe, you import or have hostile minorities that are constantly vexing and harassing and haranguing the whites, of course whites are going to want to go back into a period of time. And that's like alluding to Eric Hopper's book, The True Believer, where you go back in time at a better time in life where you love the past and hate the present. And so I think it behooves the left. They got to watch out because by their behavior, I think they're going to be driving more people, either intentionally or unintentionally, towards white nationalism. Now, one other point I'd like to make, because I know you wanted
Before you go on to that point here, what I would like to suggest is we stop using the phrase white nationalism and just say nationalism, because there are people who their families have been in this country for generations, and they're not themselves white, but they are in love with this nation, and they are just as bothered by the illegal immigration and refugee problems as anybody else. So I want to ban the phrase white nationalism from this radio show and just say it's nationalism. It's Americans in love with their country. Because the media is using white nationalism to sort of recast this as a racial argument, and that's really not what it's about.
Right, but then let it apply for Europe then, because I do believe
yes.
that. Can't there be like places in the world, like it's like this, I feel this about Japan. I wouldn't want to migrate to Japan because I'm not Japanese, and if I'm walking around in Japan all the time and living there, I would feel like I'm lessening Japan. None of their statues or their ancient texts have anybody like me in them or looking anything like me, right? So I dilute the meaning of Japan by being there. You're imposing yourself on them. And so I'm a person who I have hatreds, I admit this, but I'm smart enough to know what I do when I hate a group of people or people, I just avoid them. And so that's why the onus of blame of what happened in Charlottesville can only go on the Antifa people. And we can see that after the riots, because notice Antifa right now is having a rally in Washington, D.C. I don't see any haters or white nationalists out there counter-demonstrating or trying to bring violence to them. Clearly, they intended to non-peacefully assemble in Charlottesville.
Oh, there's no question about it. They came prepared for a violent confrontation. And by the way, a follow-up on that story about Theodore Roosevelt's statue at the museum in New York. Apparently, they were going to try and tear it down, but the museum guards formed a phalanx around it and protected the statue.
Right.
So, they believe in violence. Paul, thank you for the call. We're going to take a break for station identification. We'll be right back.
Time for you to have your own custom smartphone app for your business and pay way less than you can imagine. Introducing the I Can Get To Silent Salesman mobile marketing app, a global mobile marketing and communication tool for your business. Go to appsapart.com and learn how you could earn up to $36,351 or more per month just by inviting two people or less into a $14.95 per month program. Go to appsapart.com and be sure to watch the video at the top of the site and listen to the audio message from the CEO near the bottom. This is something you won't want to miss. Go to appsapart.com now or call 646-860-9540. That's 646-860-9540. Get the I can get too. That's I-C-A-N-G-E-T, the number 2, Silent Salesman app at appsapart.com. That's appsapart.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.